This week, I was talking to Justice, and told me he's struggling a little bit, but trying to figure out what to do for Egyptians. I told him that I'm saying, trying to figure out what I'm going to do for a message. And thank God that he has been faithful. I was blessed by your devotional, Justice. It was interesting to me to see how God led you and everything but me. So you all spoke this verse up here in the whiteboard. Curious what you thought of when you saw that verse. Care to share? What did you saw that verse? What did you think the message was to give it out? I thought maybe we missed it out. Be hurting us if you will do it for us. I was six when my grandpa died, and I most of what I remember then was he died of cancer. I remember him not being well as far as well, I wasn't going to say this, but the reason I'm preaching this message is because they've asked me to. You know, I do feel like God reveals himself in different ways sometimes. And my wife often, when it's my turn to preach, she'll be like, get a little nervous for me. And Friday, she decided she was going to preach about that. And said, as a matter of fact, I have not. And she just said, preach about perseverance. She said, I'm struggling with that right now. And sometimes it's easy to talk about the things you're struggling about. At least that's how I so I'd like to preach about perseverance or defeat. So one of the things that when I kind of decided this is what I was going to preach about, I thought a little bit about recently when we went out west to visit some family and friends. We stopped at a little mining ghost town, I guess it was, in Garnett, Montana. And I was reading some about the history of that. And it happened in the mid to late 1800s into the early 1900s. And these people traveled here to these towns. Beartown, Montana was one of the towns, which isn't there anymore. Garnett, Montana, which is no longer a town. There's some buildings remaining. But this was in the 1860s, 1870s, that there were people from the east looking for way to make money, way to, a little adventure. And they traveled out west to some of these areas, and you think about what it involved, middle of nowhere in Montana. Today, it means just an uncomfortable ride in an airplane and hours of driving. Back then, it was, I think it was 1869, was that when the Transcontinental Railroad got completed? And you know what trains were back then? That was either that or a caravan of wagons. This was back just after the Civil War. This was back when the United States Army was fighting Indians in Montana. And this was corrupt country. And people traveled out here, and it took, I guess I was impressed as I read some of that history, the perseverance that it took just to exist. And I had to think of this verse in Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'd like to look at a couple keys to perseverance this morning so we can be victorious in our Christian lives. And there's a lot of places, a lot of areas in our lives that take perseverance. We try to teach our children perseverance. And when we have a hard job, it's important. If we want to complete the job, it's important to persevere. And sometimes it's not how hard we work, but it's how long we stick at it. And there's some things that perseverance is, or the lack of it, is almost neither here nor there. If we accomplish what we're setting out to do, great. If we don't, that's fine too. If you're going on a bike trail or something and you want to get black well to Ansonia or black well to tie it off, and that's great if you do. If you don't, then make it halfway there and turn around, that's fine too. But I'd like to suggest that there's nothing more important than persevering in Christian life. And the devil's going to try hard to distract us, to bring temptation our way, and it's a couple of you ladies mentioned this morning, maybe that you're getting tired, and they probably all of us can identify with that. Sometimes just a feeling of just being tired of just doing our responsibilities, or tired of doing what's right, and we just want to put it on cruise control, and we just want an easier life. My goal this morning is to offer some encouragement to keep doing what is right. So I have 6 points this morning, and I have a Bible verse to go along with each one. And then at the end of the message, I'm going to have an assignment. So stick with me. I'm going to have 6 volunteers. I have 6 Bible verses. So if you could look a verse up and read it. I'm going to give them all right now. Whoever would like to read, I'll take 6 volunteers. Joshua 1:9. Who wants to read that? Romans 8:28. John? Ephesians 5:15-17. Caleb? Philippians 4:8. John? 1 Peter 4:10. And James 1:12. Walter. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, Joshua 1:9. If you could read that.
At night, I didn't be strong as a big branch. Be not afraid, give me thou his feet. Lord thy God. 7:3.
So, connect with God. This doesn't say this specifically in this verse, but this was Joshua talking to the children of Israel. If you remember, this was after Moses died, and Joshua promised the children of Israel again that God is with you. You have, be strong and courageous. God is there. But if you remember, there were stipulation, or there was some things that the children of Israel had to do as well. They had to do their part if they wanted this power, God. You remember the story, how the children of Israel was, it was just a series of victories and defeats. When they obeyed God, when they connected with God, when they followed God, he was there for them, he fought their battles, he helped them be victorious. When they fell away from God, complained, and were disobedient, there was consequences, and they realized that they didn't have the power of God. We're going to be persevering. We're going to persevere in our Christian life. We need to connect with God. And this same God that fought the children of Israel's battle for them and that helped them be victorious, he's there for us today. And we cannot afford to try to go through our Christian life without being connected with him. We need our time of prayer. We need our Bible reading. We need our worship, our devotion to God. And if we want to be able to make it through the hard times in life, the discouraging times in life, we need to be connected to this power source. And I had to think a little bit about if we tried to charge our cell phone without plugging the other end into the wall. Yeah, sure, that's plugged into our cell phone, but we're not plugged into the power source. And that's a little like a Christian trying to live life and be victorious and persevere in their Christian life without being connected to God. If we don't have God's power in our life, we won't have enough willpower and fortitude to worship here. Number one, connect with God. Romans 8:28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose.
Surrender to God's plan. I think we all talk about it in Sunday school, how his idea of what life might be like and what God's plan or reality is. I think that's probably how it is with most of us. What we think we would like to see for our life and what God's plan is for our life is not the same thing. And I would like to encourage myself and encourage you not to fight that. Because when we have face hardships in life or face life that is different than what we had in mind, we can and we resent that. We use a lot of valuable energy in fighting. And Romans 8 says it well, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And do you believe that? Do you believe that God's will for your life, even though it might not be what you have in mind, is good for your good? I think it's important for us to be realistic with our expectations. I had to think of the song. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you remember the song, God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all of our life through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, tough unfailing kindness, undying love. And God has promised us that trials that he allows in our lives, he will give us the grace to get through them. Remember Job and how he took the hardships, the setbacks, the pain and suffering in his life and accepted it as part of God's plan. And we read how he struggled through that. It wasn't without struggle that he accepted that. And I imagine God understands when he sees us maybe struggling to accept his will for our lives. But in the end, let's remember that. When it comes to God's will for our lives, through acceptance, God's peace. Surrender God's plan. Surrender to God's plan. Ephesians 5:15 through 17.
Seeing then as you all circumcised, God of rules what is done. If you're asking me to pray, where are we? You can show up.
I'd like to read this verse in the New International Version. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand. Number three, I have live with focus. And I really like the phrase in the New International Version where it says, making the most of every opportunity. And to be successful in our Christian lives, we have to live intentionally. And I had to think about most of the deer hunters that I know. And in order to really be successful, you have to be pretty intentional. The white-tailed deer is a very, very wary game, and you have to beat its eyes, you have to beat its nose, you have to beat its ears. And that doesn't happen by haphazardly venturing into the woods, and it's not usually how you have success. It's usually by being intentional about where you're setting your stand up, and some kind of scent control, and practicing ahead of time. That's a little how we need to live our Christian lives. You have to understand that the Christian life doesn't just happen, and it doesn't just happen by just waking up in the morning without giving much thought to it. We need to live with intention, live with focus. If we fail to focus and fail to live intentionally, we likely won't have taste or sugar. So not only do we need to connect with God, number one, number two, we surrender to God's plan. Number three, we live with focus. Now, someone wants to read Philippians 4:8.
Finally, brother, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise.
I don't have on that. Stay positive. I don't need to tell you that there is a ton of negative things that can take our focus. Choose to focus on the positive things in life. All the negative things in life can weigh us down. And the difference between happy person and grumpy person is not so much the circumstances that we're facing, but the attitude, but what you're facing in the circumstances. And I have a friend that has been a real help to me in this, and he tends to face life with, okay, there's going to be some negative things that you have to face up to, you have to deal with, but his mantra, if you will, is to face those things on, take care of them, deal with them. If there's anything that you can do something about, do something about them and move on. If the devil can succeed in discouraging us with the negative things in life, he will be successful in being grounded. So this Philippians 4:8 talks about things that we need to be focused on. If it's not on this list, just leave it out there. Don't focus on these things. We want to persevere in our Christian life. We have to focus on the positive things in our life, the things that God has blessed us with, the things that we have, we don't deserve. 1 Peter 4:7. And it's
beautiful. It's just that. It was great.
Serve others. I'd also like to read this verse in the New International Version. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. And this is a little bit where Justice touched on in his devotion about those that have blessed his life and have prayed for him, that have stood in the gap, been an example to him. And we're placed here on this life to serve others. And if we can get that straight on, I'd like to say our Christian lives are successful. And we have all been created with talents. And I don't care who you are at this point, if you're sitting here, you're living and breathing, you have talents that you can bless other people. And sometimes they have to cultivate it, sometimes they need to be nurtured. But I think it's true that we can use our talents to bless others, to serve others, and we never know what those, if we are faithful in serving, that there's one that their lives. Maybe that will be things in their life that helps them persevere and to keep their money, to have the courage to face another day. Let's strive to serve others. Take the first step. James 1:12. That verse, understand the importance of our mission. A little over 43 years ago, June 7, 1981, an attack squadron of 8 F-16 and 6 F-15 fighters took off from the Israeli Air Force base in Etzion. And their goal was a surprise attack deep inside Iraq. Iraq had been developing a nuclear reactor, building a nuclear reactor in Baghdad, and it was soon going to be complete. And this was a dangerous mission. Each of these F-16 fighters were equipped with 2,000-pound bombs. They were equipped with external fuel tanks that had to be crafted just for this mission, because they had to fly over Jordan and Saudi Arabia and deep inside Iraq to accomplish this mission. And they needed, this was all enemy territory, they needed enough fuel to get there and back, and they need to avoid detection. And it was a hugely complicated mission. It took months and months of training. If I remember correctly, none of these pilots knew what they were training. They knew what they were training, but they didn't know what they were training. And I think it was, I don't know if it was a couple days or a day or several days before, they were briefed on their mission. And it was very dangerous. And while they knew that they had to destroy this nuclear reactor, that enemy was with, and it all hung on their mission, and they were screaming across that scorching hot desert, sometimes as little as 100 feet off the ground, desert floor. And one thing that helped that mission be successful is that every one of those fighter pilots knew how important the success of that mission was. In fact, their nation depended on. And I have to think about if we took our Christian love mission that we're here, if we took it as seriously as those Israeli fighter pilots did that mission 20 years ago, would our lives look any different than? Or, no. Last Sunday, Ken did a good job of reminding us the importance of mission. He showed us, pointed out to us, the eternal, that our eternal destination depends on whether we have persevered, whether we've been faithful, and persevering in Christian life. I hope these 6 points could be an encouragement to you. If you're struggling in your Christian life or you're feeling worn out, and I mentioned that there's going to be an assignment. And in 2 weeks before the message, I'd like to get some input. I'd like you to pick out one of these six. And maybe it's one that you know you need to work especially hard on. And I'd just like to open it up for a little time of sharing what that looked like in your life. And maybe what you did to live with focus or surrender to God's plan, connect with God, stay positive, serve others, understand the importance of our mission. And I'd like to just open it up and give you an opportunity to share what that looked like in your life. That's 2 weeks. So let's pray for each other as we face life and as we go about Christian life, that we would be faithful, persevering.